Entertainment brought to you in stilettos. Your host, Tanya Brennan.
All right, happy Tuesday. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl. It's time to get up because guess what? It's Turkey Week. It's Thanksgiving on Thursday, and the holidays are here. Feeling a little chilly outside.
A little, just a little.
Yeah, and that little voice you hear right now is the wonderful, sultry editor of Elevate Magazine, Beth Schwartz, back in studio. How are you, my friend?
I'm awesome.
You ready for Thanksgiving this
week? Yeah, I'm ready for a short week.
You are, and you were just talking about your baking. Tell us more about that.
Oh, right. So, yeah. So, I'm going to somebody's house on Thursday, and I volunteered for desserts. And so, of course, I have to do this whole pie extravaganza that takes 3 days.
So, what I do with events like that is just kind of get a little flour on my hands and put them on my nose and show up and pretend like I worked really hard all afternoon. Marie Callender's, baby.
No. Got it.
But no, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Kudos to you. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We've got a lot of sports and entertainment this hour. We are also the entertainment capital of the world. We got a couple of those guys from that show at Excalibur, Tournament of the Kings. If you've ever seen it, I got to tell you, if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's a fantastic family show. You eat with your hands, and they started a holiday show last week. Later in this hour, we have four-time Super Bowl cornerback, and cornerback, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, Eric Wright, will be joining us. Looking forward to that. We've got a lot of football talk, too. And 49ers, we'll get there. We're going to ask them about defense.
Damn.
Let's talk about Monday Night Football. Can you just say, if you're not on the Lamar train, maybe you better start thinking about it. Get on the train, baby. The Rams and the red-hot Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens traveled to Los Angeles, and the Rams wore those fabulous yellow throwback uniforms last night. This was a tough one for the Rams because they were going up against one of the most stellar dynamic runners with quarterback Lamar Jackson last night, putting up an all-star performance, trying to prove why he should be considered for that MVP of the year in the NFL. He led the Ravens to scores on all six of his drives. Let me just kind of break down some of these stats. He was the first player with 5 touchdown passes in a Monday Night Football debut. The youngest player, he's 22 years old, with multiple games of 5 touchdowns. The first player in NFL history with 4 touchdown passes and at least 50 yards rushing in consecutive games. And finally, the first player with at least 3,000 passing yards and 1,500 rushing yards over his first 2 seasons in NFL history. Worthy of the MVP, Beth? What do you think?
Oh, 100%.
Him, Russell Wilson, maybe Michael Thomas, wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints.
This guy's on fire, though.
He's on fire. Lamar finished 15 of 20, 169 yards with multiple passes to different targets. He targeted Marquise Hollywood Brown, Willie Snead, and Mark Ingram. He also ran for 95 yards and 8 carries. The Ravens were up really high, up in that second quarter, came back, and it just got worse for the Rams. They could not gain momentum. They couldn't hardly scored touchdowns. I mean, they had to go for field goals. Baltimore will advance 9-2. They pulled Lamar out in the fourth quarter. What does that tell you? What kind of lead is that?
Right.
They had a 42-6 lead. They pull him out in the fourth quarter, and they put in Robert Griffin. They now go home to Baltimore and will play the NFC leader from the West Coast, the San Francisco 49ers, on Sunday in a 1 o'clock game. That's actually a 10 o'clock game back east, but 1 o'clock airtime. And those 49ers coming off of a fantastic Sunday night win against those Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about that later in the next block. That was insane. Did you see that game?
Oh, yes.
Kudos to the 49ers.
For sure.
Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, this is their 7th straight win. They lead the AFC North by 3 games over the Steelers, and they're just 1 game in the entire AFC behind the New England Patriots. So the unfortunate news for the Ravens, they did lose their center, Matt Skura, from a horrific injury, so he'll be out for the entire season. But that Baltimore Raven team, you got to watch out for them.
So what do you think? Do you think they're going to go all the way? Is Lamar taking them all the way to the show?
I got to be honest with you, there's still 5 weeks to go. And there is, don't want to jump the gun in any way, shape, or form. But at this point in time, I think they're the strongest AFC team. They're playing fantastic offensively, defensively. Even though the Patriots have a one game less loss than them, you know, I think the Ravens are a much tougher team right now. And I think the Patriots are coming off of just some challenges offensively. You know, they've got Edelman as a wide receiver, and he's fantastic, but they really don't have a really good deep wide receiver that Tom Brady has as a target. You know, Gronk's not playing, so
yeah, they're struggling. They've lost a lot without him.
They're struggling. But I do believe if I were to predict today, I think the Ravens, if I were to say go put money down, I think Baltimore is going to be in that Super Bowl game.
Nice.
That's just my opinion. We're still 5 weeks to go. You never know. So let's talk about some of these AFC games. And I know Chris here in the booth was excited about his New York Jets this past Sunday. Jets showed up, and I'll tell you what, they could do nothing wrong. The Raiders did everything wrong. They struggled. Oakland's still trying to get in that wild card spot, and they've been playing some really good football. But let's talk about those Jets. Quarterback Sam Darnold, 20 for 29, 315 yards and 2 touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell, 49 yards. Quarterback Derek Carr for the Raiders was held to just 127 yards, 15 for 27. And Raiders running back, who I just think is awesome, Josh Jacob, only 34 yards, 10 rushing. Jets win this 34-3. They look like an absolute different team on Sunday.
Yeah, they really did. And so, you know, the way they played, how do you think this is going to bode for when they play Kansas City next week?
I think it's going to be a tough game. It's really a must-win game for Coach Gruden and the Raiders. This is, you know, the AFC, as we come down to these final games, you've got teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers and Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you've got Buffalo Bills. Let's not rule them out because, you know, they're right there in the hunt as well. This is a must-win game for the Raiders, and this is kind of at the point where it's, if we win this, we can continue momentum. If we lose this, we're
it's
in
done.
Trouble.
Yeah.
It changes the momentum of this team. The Raiders, they will play, as we mentioned, Kansas City coming up, and the AFC not as strong, in my opinion, as the NFC, but you still have some of these great teams, and the Raiders are going to have to do it from here on out. Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin bench quarterback Mason Rudolph on Sunday. They put in, I guess you could say, the third string quarterback, Devlin Rogers, in, and pretty good. He won the game, threw 118 yards, had a touchdown, went 5 for 11. Steelers come out on top 16-10. They did announce, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that Devlin Rogers will be starting this weekend against the Browns.
Oh.
They're going to be playing a very heated game,
well,
in my opinion.
I was wondering how that was going to go.
You know, a Thursday night football game, just over a week ago with the Myles Garrett situation. So I think there's going to be a lot of emotion. There's going to be a lot of angst in this team. And that potentially could be part of the reason why they're pulling Mason Rudolph out. Who knows? Mike Tomlin knows this team and probably thinks that Devlin will give him a better chance at winning this game. So
a little less emotion.
We'll see what happens in this one. Pittsburgh comes out on top 13-10 to win to the winless Bengals. They still are winless. I can't believe that.
I feel so bad for them.
Let's talk about those New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Terrible weather at Foxborough this past weekend. You know, low scoring game. Rookie Harry scored for the Patriots, made the first touchdown for New England, was the only touchdown of the day. The Patriots were up 13-6. Dallas had the chance to come back, and quarterback Dak Prescott for the Cowboys struggling in this weather. Just nothing could go right.
He's used to that nice dome he's got at home.
I tell you, I guess he's spoiled. 19 for 33, 212 yards, had the chance to come in, tie the game, no go. So Zeke Elliott for the Cowboys, 21 rushing yards, 86 total. And Dallas Amari Cooper held to 0 catches in the game. This was probably a game that Dallas could have won and should have won, especially according to their owner, Jerry Jones, and came up short.
Yes, he was grumbling quite a bit. Yeah.
They're so close.
That's been their whole season. You could describe their whole season like that.
So close. Patriots somehow find a way at the end to get the W on the
column. They always do.
So Dallas has not won consecutive games since week 2 and 3. So Patriots will advance to 10-1. And the Patriots will play Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans this week. So that'll be a good, great game. We talked about Jerry Jones a little bit, about why he was upset after this game. He said, Cowboys are winning games, but they're not winning the games with the big teams that they should be winning. And when it comes down to the playoffs, you know, you could probably win the Bengals or the Redskins, but you need to be able to win these teams. And here's a perfect example. They didn't pull it out against the Patriots. So no excuses there for the Cowboys. We'll see what happens. I think Jason Garrett is probably potentially could be on the hot seat.
I think you're right. I think he's got to be very concerned that this is his last Thanksgiving with the Cowboys.
I'll tell you, the Patriots' special teams were fantastic, and their defense is good. Still ranked number one in the league, so you got to give it to them. They were able to hold Dallas to 9 points. Cleveland Browns and Miami Dolphins. Baker Mayfield having a great game, throwing for 327 yards and 3 touchdowns, 24 for 34. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry, 148 yards. And Miami, obviously quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick in there, just okay. But Browns looking good, trying to gain momentum. They're also trying to earn one of those spots in the playoffs. They win 3 in a row, 41-24. So Buffalo Bills and Denver. This is a team, Buffalo Bills, I don't want to rule out in the AFC. I think right now their record is 6. They have 6 wins, but they're just on the cusp. And they're playing Dallas this weekend. It's going to be a tough game. That'll be an interesting one on Thursday night.
That will be
night.
Very interesting.
So the Bills win this 20-3. And Titans win over the Jacksonville Jags 42-20. Ryan Tannehill throwing for 2 touchdowns, 2 rushing TDs, and 259 yards. Tennessee is 6-5 and are in the hunt. So some pretty good games in the AFC. Other NFL highlights and headlines and sports, too. We talked about Pittsburgh Steelers starting Devlin Rodgers this weekend. NFL Frank Gore for the Buffalo Bills becomes the number 3 all-time rusher in Bills with their victory this weekend. Surpassed running back Barry Sanders in his career. So congrats to Frank Gore. He's also a former 49er player. He is a fantastic running back. Colts to place tight end Eric Ebron on IR with an ankle injury. He had 4 receptions against the Texans. Good news for the Chargers. Safety Derwin James to return off of IR. He's been faced with a horrible stress fracture. Cincinnati Bengals, they're starting with Andy Dalton at quarterback. They just made that announcement this week. So back and forth there, trying to make some big decisions, trying to get their first win, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Also in the NFL, Kellen Winslow Sr. is seeking workers' comp. According to a claim by USA Today, he's the Hall of Fame tight end where his career led to brain and nervous system injuries. More to come on that. Local news, UNLV parts ways with their head coach, Tony Sanchez, after 5 seasons. He's done some good things with that football team, but we'll miss him.
Not enough.
No. They've had a pretty dismal record, but
do you think it's kind of odd that they would let him go before the big rivalry game this weekend, but let him still coach it?
I don't think that's odd.
Okay.
No, I don't think. But I think they need to start making a statement saying,
That's a statement.
But I don't think they're going to leave that team high and dry. They probably need some leadership at least to carry him through this rivalry game. But some pretty big news there yesterday announced by UNLV.
Yeah.
So anyhow, let's talk about Vegas Golden Knights coming off of a tough loss to the Stars last night. Our guys got to get back on track. They lost that game 4-2. Next game is against the Nashville Predators this Wednesday at 5 p.m. And here's one for you, the UFC. You know, UFC is getting a lot of recognition these days. We had Mark Ratner on the show a few months ago. It was kind of interesting to hear everything they're doing. But they're targeting a lightweight championship between, and I don't want to slash
his name. I can't wait to hear you pronounce
Khabib
this.
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Nice.
See, I did it.
You
Nurmagomedov
did do it.
And Tony Ferguson. This is a fight a lot of UFC followers have wanted for many years. Since 2015, they've scheduled the fight every year. It's been canceled for whatever reason. We'll keep an eye out and ear out for that. That should hopefully get confirmed and maybe in the spring of next year. In Major League Baseball, right-hand pitcher Rich Hill, surgery on his pitching elbow, likely to miss the first half of the 2020 season. He started for the LA Dodgers in 2019, completing a 3-year, $48 million contract. In the NBA, a new memo outlines new injury guidelines. Teams can now be penalized for resting healthy players in high-profile games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in NBA trying to buckle down a little bit. Los Angeles Lakers still leading this in the NBA with 14 wins, followed by the Milwaukee Bucks. I know there's a few games tonight as well. Washington at Denver at 6 p.m., and the L.A. Clippers will take on Dallas in Dallas at 5:30 p.m. And lastly, in the WNBA, Indiana Fever names Marianne Stanley as their new head coach. So congrats to them. A lot of sports news, right, Beth? We haven't even begun to tip the iceberg here. We've got a lot of NFL, NFC to talk about. We have special guests later in the hour. Eric Wright will be joining us. You got Beth Schwartz here in studio. Thanks for listening and tuning into Vegas Sports Girl. Check us out on vegassportsgirl.com. Like us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Share us and keep sharing us, right?
Oh, they can share
us. So they can hear Miss Bethy here in stilettos. We've got a lot more sports and entertainment coming up. Stay with us after the break.
Hi, this is Alex and Natalie from WOW, the Vegas Spectacular.
And we tune into Vegas Sports Girl.
Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. Tanya Brennan here, your host. And joining me, Beth Schwartz. Adding some flavor and just some pizzazz in the studio. We've both got stilettos on. Sports and stilettos. We were just talking about some of the AFC games in the NFL this weekend. A lot of excitement right now. This is the time of the season where you start going, all right, who's going to show up or show out, and who's going to make the playoffs?
Figure out who's worth their salt.
And if you've got a good record, you've got to maintain and sustain that record because competition gets tough. Let's talk about some of these NFC games. And I'll tell you, one of the teams that still is tough, in my opinion, are those New Orleans Saints, which I'll be at that game a week from Sunday when the New Orleans Saints will take on the 49ers. That's going to be interesting. Carolina Panthers and the Saints. The Saints had a strong lead this past weekend. Carolina was able to capitalize and come back from a large deficit. They trailed at 9 minutes, just over 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. They trailed by a large margin. When DJ Moore reached up, kind of corralled a fourth and goal pass in the back end zone to tie it. They managed to tie the game at 31. The Panthers get the ball, move it down to make a field goal, and miss the field goal. Joey Sly missed a 28-yard field goal, giving Drew Brees time, which if you know Drew Brees, you can't give this man any time. I don't care if it's 30 seconds or 30 minutes. This guy's going to make magic out of nothing. So Drew Brees comes back, moves the ball down, moves the chains down, the Saints kick, field goal. There you go, 34-31. They win this. This was a huge game because this was a division game, the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. Quarterback Kyle Allen had a good game, 256 yards, three touchdowns. I really like running back Christian McCaffrey. He had 133 yards and two touchdowns. But they really held Alvin Kamara, and I'm talking about the Panthers' defense, held Alvin Kamara with yardage. So, you know, tough game. This is a tough one. And the Saints squeak it out by 3 points. Let's talk about some of these players on the Saints, which are fantastic. Michael Thomas, wide receiver. He had over 100 yards, potential candidate for the NFL MVP as well. Tight end Jared Cook, 6 catches for 99 yards, including a 20-yard touchdown. And running back Latavius Murray scored the first touchdown, 26-yard run. Saints obviously up. They're going to win this division. This Thursday they'll play the Atlanta Falcons and can seal this division and win first place if they beat the Falcons and Matt Ryan on Thursday. So the Saints are 6-0 this season in games decided by 8 points or less, which is actually kind of a rare statistic for the Saints because usually they're winning by huge margins. So I don't know. Other teams are just having better defense and playing a little bit harder, a little bit more intense against the Saints. Seahawks and Philadelphia. I still believe the Seattle Seahawks is one of those teams, in addition to the Saints, that you've got to watch out for in the NFC. Carson Wentz, 4 turnovers for the Eagles, 256 yards. Their defense really made it difficult for Seattle to score, but their offense was not so good, unfortunately. their offense struggled, and this is why the Seattle Seahawks was able to capitalize to come back to win this game. The run game was good for Seattle. Russell did not have his best game. Seahawks come out on top 17-9. Seattle's undefeated on the road and will play Minnesota and Kirk Cousins next. That should be a good showdown with two great NFC teams. Eagles at Miami. So hopefully they'll win that game. Tampa Bay over the Falcons, another division rival in that NFC South. Quarterback Jameis Winston for the Buccaneers completed 18 of 28, 313 yards. His two top receivers, Mike Evans and Godwin, both went past 1,000 yards receiving this season. Godwin, seven catches for a career best, 184 yards, including two touchdowns. And he put Tampa Bay ahead 7-3 with a 71-yard reception in the first quarter, beating linebacker Deion Jones. Falcons took a lead shortly after that, but then Tampa Bay dominated, and Falcons quarterback just couldn't get into rhythm for this game. Wide receiver Julio Jones sustained a shoulder injury in the first half, but finished with five catches for 68 yards. Tampa Bay comes out on top 35-22. The one thing about the Buccaneers is they always put a lot of points on the board. The question is will they get outbeat with those points? Somehow Jameis can take the lead by 20 plus points and the other team will come back to defeat them. So just playing good sound football with some of these quarterbacks. The Redskins beat the Lions 19-16. Quarterback Redskins Dwayne Haskins. He was the 15th overall pick in the draft. He had his first win in the NFL and was just very emotional. Went 13 of 29 for 156 yards and an interception. Dustin Hopkins connected on a 39-yard field goal with 16 seconds left in the game to win it, snapping a four-game losing streak. This was their first win at home in 13 months.
Wow.
And Giants and Bears. Bears win this 19-14. Quarterback Mitch Trubisky, 25 for 41, 278 yards and two touchdowns. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, two passing touchdowns. Saquon Barkley for the Giants, 59 rushing yards. Not enough to win. Chicago gets the W. So a lot of good NFC games that we're talking about. Thursday night game. We actually have three games on Turkey Day. New Orleans goes to Atlanta. Chicago Bears will play their division rivals, the Lions, and the Bills will take on Dallas. We talked a little bit about that earlier in the hour. And Sunday night's game, looking down the road, we've got the New England Patriots that will take on Houston Texans. That should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, how do you think that game's going to go?
I think if the New England Patriots don't get their offense squared away, it's going to be a challenge for them to beat the Texans, because one thing Deshaun does well is not only does he pass well and he's accurate and he can run the ball. I think offensively, Texans potentially could be stronger in this game. So it'll definitely be a fight and challenge for the Patriots. It could go either way on this. So injuries in the NFL. Tackle for Green Bay, Brian Beluga left the game early against the 49ers, did not return. Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfro left the game early with a rib injury. And offensive lineman Bob Massey for the Bears left the game early with an ankle injury. Let's talk about, we have Eric Wright joining us in a few minutes this hour. Eric Wright is the all-pro cornerback for the 49ers. Let's talk about that Sunday night game.
I've been waiting. I can't believe you waited this long in the show to bring it up.
This is your team. It's a good lead for Eric Wright, right? The 49ers and Green Bay Packers both fighting for this number one seed. So Niners go in with a 9-1 record. Aaron Rodgers and Packs go in at 8-2. This game could have gone either way. Many people thought this was going to be an upset for the 49ers because Aaron Rodgers is a tough quarterback to play against. He could be falling, he'd be tripping. Fourth down, he'll make a play. But the 49ers defense was impeccable. Good news, too, for the 49ers is some of their star players were in. Now, George Kittle came back from an injury. So he's by far their number one offensive player at tight end. He could tackle, he can run the ball. He played Deebo Samuel, rookie running back, fantastic player, made a great touchdown, and Emmanuel Sanders, recently acquired by the Denver Broncos. All three were activated for this game. 49ers held Aaron Rodgers to 104 yards. He went 20 for 33. He was sacked five times. He was 0-7 for throwing 10 or more yards in that game. It was insane. to see that performance by the 49er defense. And they were dominant. And it started on the first drive when the defense literally took that, stripped that ball away from Packers and scored on that first drive.
Well, they almost had to get the score going early because that's what Rodgers is famous for, is coming back in the end and killing it. And so that was a good strategy.
It was a great strategy. The Packers were scoreless the first half. Devontae Adams was the only touchdown for Green Bay. Adams with 43 yards and Green Bay Packers were 0-14 on the third down. Now think about that number. 0-14 on third down. That any defense can stop a powerful offense, that was insane. And kudos to Robert Saleh and the 49ers defense. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, a lot of doubters out there. He had 253 yards and two touchdowns. He was 14 for 20. 49ers George Kittle, 129 yards and a touchdown. And we talked about Deebo Samuel, that beautiful, beautiful touchdown. Some of the other running backs showing up too, making some great plays on the offense. So they're playing, and they played really good, tight, sound football on Sunday night. Now the question is going to be, can this defense hold Lamar Jackson on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens? I'm not sure.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think either team, and it's going to be who shows up. I think 49ers can win, and I think the Ravens can win. It's a matter of them trying to figure out a strategy defensively. While we have a good front on the defensive line and we've got great corners,
right,
are they going to be able to get to Lamar and stop him soon enough? Because he's a big guy, unlike a Russell Wilson or a Kyler Murray at quarterback. Not only is he smart and he's accurate as a quarterback and he can throw, but he can run.
He's
so
fast, yeah.
Are they going to be able to catch him? We love Nick Bosa, but how fast is he going to be?
Right.
So it'll be interesting because I do want to ask Eric Wright, who knows a little bit about defense. We'll ask him when he calls in what he thinks about that game on Sunday. We've got a lot of sports still coming up. Eric Wright will be joining us from the 49ers in the next block. Beth Schwartz and Tanya Brennan with you. Stay with us after the break.
Hi, I'm Clint Holmes, and I listen to Vegas Sports Girl. And it's too bad it's not on TV. You should see her. Sports and Stiletto.
Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. Thank you, Clint Holmes. He was a fun host to have here in studio. Beth Schwartz, Tanya Brennan here with you on Vegas Sports Girl. We're having a fantastic show, talking a lot of football. We just talked about that big game on Sunday night with the San Francisco 49ers, literally crushing Green Bay and the Packers. That was awesome, both offensively and defensively. And we've got a special guest right now joining us. He is the former cornerback, Eric Wright of the San Francisco 49ers. Eric, are you there?
What's happening, Tanya?
How are you, my friend? Let me just brag about you for a minute. You're a four-time Super Bowl champion. You've got four rings, two-time Pro Bowl selection, two-time All-Pro selection. You were considered one of the best cornerbacks of your day, and you played 10 NFL seasons with the San Francisco 49ers from 81 to 90. Let's talk about those 49ers. But before we talk about that defense, Eric, I know you're still working with them. What are you doing with the Niners these days?
Okay, well, one of the alumni coordinators, and what does that entail is hugging, kissing, autographs, coming to the game, staying out of trouble, and just having a good time, and do a lot of charity stuff. Like today, I'm out here delivering 200 turkeys. And so, you know, I just try to stay out of the way. And if there's any time or any assistance where we can mentor the young guys and just, you know, stay in relationship with the organization. So, you know, Keena does a good job. He got five problems that he always has to babysit. So we just try to stay out the way.
And Eric, we work together. You haven't changed. So when you say stay out of trouble, you know, that's just something I'm still kind of grappling with you, Eric. But anyhow, thanks for joining us, my friend. And it's awesome you're delivering turkeys. Now, I got to ask you, let's talk about this 49ers defense. They're ranked second in the entire league, top five in rushing, sacks, takeaways. You played defense. You played cornerback. And I hear your little beep in the car, so you've got to be in the car. Thanks so much for calling in.
He's probably delivering those turkeys.
You're delivering those turkeys. Yep, I love that. Yep, this is action. Let's talk about 49ers defense, Eric. In your opinion, the defense, the corners. I know we've got a fantastic defensive line. Let's talk about those cornerbacks, Akella Witherspoon, Jimmy Ward. What do they bring to this defense, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? Witherspoon, he had some real good games early, and he got injured. The old wily veteran, Mr. Sherman, you know, he's the backbone, he's the anchor, he's the seasoned, the veteran guy, and you got Jimmy Ward, you got Mosley.
Yep.
And hey, you know, right now it's whoever they putting in on nickel and guys who's being nicked up. They have the mentality where they really are playing with urgency, passion, and they're making plays. And the thing about it is, they got an attitude right now that they don't care about what anybody says, and they're always saying, "Hey, we hadn't played anybody." And in this league, you win 10 games, that's playing somebody. So next guy on deck for them to kick their ass, you know. So that's what's happening right now in the defensive line. I never seen a defensive line where, hey, they're taking control of the game. The young linebackers, everybody is stepping to the plate. Everybody is participating, they're playing roles, and then, hey, look, they're getting the job done.
Yeah, I know we talked the other day, and you said, let's talk in 3 weeks. Speaking of 3 weeks, let's talk about that big game this Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, you know Lamar Jackson was on fire. Can this defense stop Lamar and that offense?
Well, tell you, time will tell. Because this guy is a beast. Again, talking to guys the last couple of days, and I started, it scared me last night. I watched every play last night on the Monday night game, and this guy can create offense like no tomorrow, and he's playing with a vengeance, and he's putting up yardage.
Yep.
The guy has developed a touch. And how do you defense the guy? You know, he's going to get hit. And me and Keena was talking this morning, closest guy. Now, from a running standpoint, C. Young used to do that in a similar fashion.
Sure. Escaping that pocket.
So he came here. And then he learned how to throw the ball. Okay? And to use his receiver. Now, this kid, he's a crossbreed of Michael Vick, Steve Young, but he's an athlete.
Little Kyler Murray
in
him.
You gotta bang this guy. You gotta bang his ass.
So let's talk.
You gotta play disciplined pass rush lane.
Sure. Now let's talk about the genius and your head coach of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. I know you worked with his father, Mike Shanahan, as did I. He's so analytical and he's so smart. And I know that he stays up all through the night creating and putting together this amazing offense and ways to stop their plan. Can he, and do you think he's this week totally in strategic mode working against this Ravens offense, trying to figure out a way to put this together?
Well, Tony, it's not left up to him. It's left up to the defensive coordinator.
Robert
he can
Sell.
Draw stuff. He can draw, as you call him, the genius.
He's involved with the defense.
Hey,
yes.
Tony, the defense, it's just simple, simple old style football. It comes back to tackling, passing, and being disciplined enough in detail, and not make the mistakes. You got to win every battle. You can't turn the ball over. When you turn the ball over, Tanya, that means if it's the offense, it's turning the ball over. that means your defense is staying on the field too long. You can't; those guys can't stay on the field all freaking day. Those rush guys and the defensive backs, they got to make plays. And you got to be smart enough when you're going 2nd down and 25, 3rd and long. Tanya, you got to get out the field. You can't be using and can't be wasting those costly penalties. 3rd and 25, and you get a penalty, you got to get the defense and get those guys rested. And Jimmy G got it. Hey, Tanya.
Yes.
You got to have it. You got to come through.
Eric, I think I've lost control here.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on your show. You sound like, hey, and you know more football than I do. I know that.
Eric, the other day you said, oh, really, this cheerleader's going to be talking football with me? We have a couple more questions before you go deliver turkeys. I can't thank you enough for calling in. Talk about the vibe. You talked about these players. They have a little swagger. Talk about the vibe right now in the 49er offices.
Well, you know, like you said, the key word, they got swagger. They have a swagger that is them against the world, and they are having fun, and they have a chip on their shoulder. Nobody believes them. So guess what? They playing with a chip in the locker room and in their clubhouse. Hey, you know, these guys are really playing for something, and it's like back in the early days. And when you go to the stadium now, oh, my God, it's like unbelievable. It's like it's got old Candlestick vibe going on right now.
Isn't that awesome?
So, hey, Eric, this is Beth, Tanya's co-host, not a cheerleader, but I did
what?
Have a quick question.
Hold on, wait. It's two beautiful women co-hosting a... Wait, what y'all trying to do? Y'all trying to take over the air?
Oh,
Eric. Anyway, I had a question for you. So at this point in the season, what does a team need to do either defensively or offensively to have a chance to go the whole way to be in the playoffs and go to the show?
The key thing is got to get your guys back. Healthy part of getting your key guys. So guess what? And pray to God you get yourself in that situation where you get the home field advantage, then you get a week rest. But you got to get your vibe, got to get your key guys back. And guess what? You got to make plays this time of the year. When it get late in the season, your key guys got to be on the field. You got to get off the field on 3rd downs, and you got to limit your turnovers. And you can't give the big, long 80, 90-yard plays. You got to keep them down.
Yep. Good advice. Eric, I cannot thank you enough for calling in. You're busy delivering turkeys, and that I think that's your seatbelt. You need to buckle up your seatbelt.
No. I got my seatbelt on. That's just this old beat-up Ford truck I'm running.
All right.
Hey, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And, hey.
You too,
hey,
Eric.
Stop trying to drop. Tanya, I know you want to call plays next.
Yep, I'm calling plays next. So we'll talk more about the Top Golf event, Eric.
Right.
And I will see you at the Saints-Niner game in just a little over a week. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Peace. Eric Wright, former cornerback of the 49ers, and he has not changed.
He's delightful.
Yeah, he's very passionate about the things that he's passionate about. And,
yeah.
You know, we've been friends for several years, and we go back and forth, and it's fun. It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, he's very
smart, fantastic player back in the day. We have a couple guests coming up here from Tournament of the Kings. We have more sports coming up. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl.
Hey, how you doing? You rocking with Tavares Gooden, Baltimore Raven, San Francisco 49ers linebacker. When I'm listening to sports, I love to tune in to Vegas Sports Girl.
I got to listen to this tune just for a quick second because this one always gets me going. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. Tanya Brennan in studio. We just heard Eric Wright, former cornerback of the San Francisco 49ers, joining us. And yes, Vegas is the entertainment capital of the world. And we've got two special guests in studio. I'm going to just kind of lead this in before I introduce them. Tournament of Kings is the ultimate dinner and show experience at the Excalibur Hotel. Show was taken from the tale of King Arthur, and it's a live production. It's got all these fireworks, and it's crazy. The round is amazing. You eat with your hands. The show engages everyone of all ages. It's a great family show. It's the tale of valor and treachery, and there are valiant knights on horses and dancers, and the knights joust. Joining me in studio right now, I'm actually going to have them introduce themselves. Travis and Brandon, give us your name and tell us who you are in the show.
I am Travis King, and I play several roles in the show. I do the King of France most of the time. I'm also the horse trainer for the show, so I spend a lot of time with the horses. I do Norway, Spain, Austria, France. Those, yeah,
you
mainly.
You kind of rotate around.
Yeah, all over. Yeah, we're bouncing everywhere out there. So
that's awesome.
Groovy, and I'm Brandon Nobles. I also am in the show. I am Travis's backup for the King of France. I also play all the ground roles, so all their backup, all the fighters on the ground. We do all that stuff.
So I have to ask. Well, I saw the show last week. You started a new holiday show.
We just
last week, correct?
Yeah, Merlin makes it snow in the arena. It's really
awesome.
Neat.
Yeah.
Snow in Vegas. It's the new thing.
And by the way, if you haven't been, the menu changed. The food was fantastic. You eat like a chicken with your hands.
Yeah, it's a Cornish game hen. I believe we're the world's largest purchaser of Cornish game hens.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder how many Cornish hens you guys sell a year.
A lot.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's a great meal. It's very entertaining. You have two shows a night, and you're dark what nights?
Tuesday night. This is our day off right now. We came to spend it with you.
Well, thanks for coming. Yeah, I won't put stilettos on you guys because, you know, this is sports and entertainment and stilettos, but I won't do that to you guys.
I'd like to see Travis in that.
If you haven't been to the show and you are a local or a tourist, how would you kind of sum up what you'll see?
A lot of stunts. It's a great show. It's action. It's great for the whole family. If you are a young child all the way to an adult, you will have a great time. It's bang on the tables, get rowdy. The louder you are, the more fun you're going to have, the more your king's going to get into it. It's a very interactive show. It's crowd participation. It's just so much fun. It's
jousting. We do jousting, sword fighting, like you said, fireworks, dancing ladies, dancing maidens of King Arthur.
It's very cool. And when you guys sword fight, I see like sparks flying. Is that like legit?
All of our swords, all of our weapons are real weapons. And yes, they are. You hit, it's a titanium sword, so the titanium will spark when it hits right, yeah.
Wow. Now, the show's been at the Excalibur Hotel since 2000.
Yeah.
You're getting ready for a new show.
Yeah,
after
Tournament of Kings opened in 2000, and before that, King Arthur's Tournament has been there since the day Excalibur opened. So it's basically the same production company. They revamped the show in 2000, and they are talking about revamping it again and putting a whole new show in. I'm not sure when that will happen, but it's in the works. It's being talked about.
It's amazing because those horses are so beautiful, and I love horses, but they're so calm. I mean, they're so trained. I mean, kudos to you guys because they can handle all of the activity going around them.
It's a rare thing to be able to see a horse that can handle fireworks and sword fighting and jumping off of them and jousting and all of the things that they, you know, come in contact with. Travis really does a good job with teaching them all.
What do you like best about your job?
I get to play on a horse every day for a living. I mean, really, come on.
I know, it's
you
fun,
can't
right?
Beat that.
And were you guys, were you part of the rodeo? Is that how you got into this?
I did. I grew up on a ranch and rodeoing my whole life. I actually came to Vegas. I had a full ride scholarship to rodeo for UNLV.
All right.
That's actually how I came to Vegas originally. And then I was rodeoing professionally, and I started traveling with a guy from Southern California who was a stuntman. And he introduced me. There used to be a guy at the show named Tad Griffith, who's now does a lot of stunts in Hollywood. And he introduced me to him. And next thing I know, I heard they were auditioning for the show. So I went and auditioned. And
there you go.
I've been there since 2001. So long time.
And it's cool, Brandon. You guys have multiple countries that are represented from Russia, and the dragon's the bad guy. I mean, I know if you haven't seen it, you have to go see it. I don't want to like blow the thunder.
Yeah, it's really cool. Each country has a different energy. So depending on who you're playing, France, Russia, Spain, all of those comes with, you get to give something different every single time.
Awesome.
So, you know, depending on what section you're in, it's a whole nother show every time you come. That's very cool.
Local promos? Do you guys offer a local promotion?
They do, depending, you just have to check with the Excalibur. I'm not really sure what they're running at this time. If they are, they do several times throughout the year. They run 2-for-1 for locals. There's usually discounts or, like I said, 2-for-1s for locals.
Check it out on the MGM website.
I was just going to ask you where to get tickets. So the MGM's website, probably going to Excalibur.
Yep, Excalibur, MGM.
It's very affordable, and it's definitely worth your money, your show.
One of the only dinner shows left in town, too. So you get, it's very affordable. Assuming you get dinner with it too,
right?
So,
family friendly and Cornish Game Hens. You can't beat that.
And I know we have limited time, right, Chris? We have just a couple more minutes. I wanted to ask you. You were in the Donnie and Marie show.
I was, yeah.
As well. What did you do with them?
I was a dancer there, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also just got back on tour from?
Yep, John Fogerty. I'm his opening act for John Fogerty, and then I come out throughout the show as well, which is pretty neat.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And are you guys football fans?
I am.
Yeah. Are you excited about the Raiders coming here, or is that not your team?
I'm very excited about the Raiders coming here. My team is the Bears, and I'm just heartbroken this year because we are 12-4 last year.
But it's okay. They were great last year.
Mitch Trubisky is like Jay Cutler 2.0.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh.
Well, that's okay. It's tough when your team goes through their ups and downs.
They'll get there. They're a young team.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming out and hanging out for a few minutes. Hope we can stay for a few more minutes. Brandon, Travis, Tournament of the Kings, you've got to go to the show. You're dark tonight. You're dark tomorrow night.
Just one night.
Oh, my gosh. Working hard there. But go see the holiday show because it really kind of gets you festive and into it. Beth, you've got to go see it.
The holiday show, every year it's... We do something different with the holiday show. So it's one of those things that every year you can come back and see, let's go see what they did for the holiday show this year. Because we redo the show, make different twists every holiday show. I think this is our fourth or fifth year doing it, but it's been different every single year. So it's something you can do.
Awesome. Thanks so much again, you guys, for coming out. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl. Beth Schwartz, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Pick up an Elevate magazine. Newest issue's out.
Yep, it's all about happiness.
Wonderful. We hope all of you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Thanks to Eric Wright, who's out delivering turkeys. We've got a big football game this week. Tune on Thursday, because we got 3 football games in the NFL and some big games coming up on Sunday. We want to wish you all a fantastic Thanksgiving. Eat lots of pie. Have a great week. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl.